I'm not Lorna, I'm Phoebe. I'm channeling Phoebe today because you've read Romans 16. Phoebe knew everybody. So we are going to have a visit from Phoebe this morning. And in the process, we're going to have praise for God alone. As I share some events from my life and reasons I have to praise the Lord, I hope that each of you can identify with those and you too join me in praising the Lord. Actually, I'm so glad to have the opportunity this morning to commend all of you upon your completion of the study of the marvelous epistle from Paul to the Romans and to celebrate by praising God. As you noticed several months ago, we studied Romans 8, the greatest chapter in the entire Bible, certainly the greatest chapter in the book of Romans. Now, today we're coming to Romans 16. Which no one would say is the greatest chapter in the Bible or the greatest chapter in the book of Romans. As a matter of fact, you take one look at that list of names, you go hard name, hard name, hard name, and skip it. But, let me share something with you. That list in Romans 16 contains perhaps the most intimate and extensive expressions of love and appreciation for others in the entire Bible. There is probably not another chapter like it, which specifically lists individuals, specifically praises individuals, and praises them uniquely for things that they have done for God. It's an amazing expression of love and appreciation for one another that Paul has written for us in 16. But having come from heaven, having been in heaven the last 2,000 years, I want to also encourage you that heaven provides a perspective to life. While each of you are here on earth celebrating life and praising God, remember that life is short, life is precious, life has a purpose, and life is a gift. So as you praise God, celebrate your life, and celebrate your life in a way that praises Him and brings glory to Him. So first, we're going to talk about Phoebe, moi, one. Two, we're going to talk about people. Note the alliteration there, Phoebe, people. And then three, we're going to talk about Paul, if we have time. Now, time goes a whole lot faster here on earth than it does in heaven. So if we don't finish on Paul today here, I will finish with each of you with Paul on heaven. But let's begin with Phoebe. And my first praise is to praise God for His awesome plan of salvation. And you saw that in Romans 1 through 8 as you looked at the box. The salvation, it's a gift. It's a free gift from God. So praise God for His plan of salvation. Now, in my case, travel back 2,000 years. I was born and raised in Cenchrea, which is a city that flourished during the Roman era. It was 6 miles east of Corinth. It had a deep, crescent-shaped natural harbor, which you can see behind me. It was enclosed by massive concrete breakwaters, and it was protected by seawalls. It was a beautiful, beautiful city, flourishing city, beautiful harbor. And of course, I'm Greek. I was born in Greece. I speak Greek. That makes me Greek. And as a Greek, I worshipped and was raised to worship a pantheon of idols. In fact, Phoebe, the name Phoebe, is another name for Diana, which was a Greek goddess. I was born, not only was I Greek, I was born into a wealthy family. And it was interesting because Paul was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in neighboring Corinth for a year and a half on his second missionary journey. Greeks, value oratory. We value debating skills. We value wisdom. We value philosophy. So I had to, walk the 6-8 miles, uphill to Corinth and check this guy out. And it was amazing. As I listened to him, my heart was transformed. My eyes could see the light. He totally, totally changed my life. I went from darkness to light, from unloved to loved by God, from empty to having a purpose, from hopeless to hopeful. I trusted in Christ. And I praise God, first of all, among everything, for His awesome plan of salvation. Because the day I trusted in Christ, He lit up my life, and I have a new life. And I think each of you experienced the same joy in your life when you trusted in Christ. If there's anyone here who has not trusted in Christ, Do not leave here today in the study of Romans without talking to somebody and nailing down that salvation, lighting the light of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can shine for Him and bloom for Him. So let me ask you this. When and where did you first trust in Christ as your Savior? Another praise that I have, and I hope y'all can share, is praise God, there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Corinth, as you know, was infamous for its sexual immorality and its idolatry. Corinth was the Las Vegas, if you will, of the ancient world. It was wealthy from taxation on trade routes, and it was a thriving business center. But when I trusted in Christ, I realized that I was no longer controlled by sin. And I think each of you realize the same thing. Now that you are in Christ, you're free from sin. You're free from the power of sin, but you're not free from the presence of sin. Just because I trusted in Christ, it didn't change anything else in Corinth. But it did change me and the way I responded to the world around me. In heaven, praise the Lord, you're going to be free from the presence and the penalty of sin. Awesome. But what God did with me in the no condemnation is He took me step by step. And He said, Phoebe, this area of your life really needs to get cleaned up. And so I'd work on that. And then a little bit later, He'd say, you're doing a great job over there, but this area of your life could use a little work too. And so I'd be working on this, and step by step by step by step, He transformed me and transformed the Corinth that I had been in and transformed me to be a light to glorify Him. So praise God, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He uses conviction, but not condemnation with His children. So let me ask you, where are you choosing to obey sin rather than the Spirit? You may live in Corinth, but you don't have to act like a Corinthian. You may live in the 21st century, but you don't have to act like what's going on around you in the 21st century. You may live in Frisco, but you don't have to ask like a Friskin, Friscoian, Friskolan, what are you, Friskite? So praise God, there's no condemnation anymore for those who are in Christ Jesus. But not only that, praise God for the fellowship we enjoy in the family of God. We have new relationships. Paul called me our sister. I was a sister to Paul. You are all sisters to Paul. We have new relationship in the family of Christ. We have a new name. Phoebe, instead of being Goddess Diana, actually means brilliant, bright, and radiant, which indicates somebody who is a shining light, who is brilliant, who is bright, who is radiant in a dark world that's spiraling downhill. Let me ask you, what do you enjoy most about being adopted into the family of God? Do you enjoy being able to call God Daddy? Abba Daddy. He's your Abba Daddy who loves you so much. Do you enjoy the fact that you're adopted? You've been taken out of this family and placed into the family of God. Do you enjoy the fact that you are co-heirs with Christ, the creator of the universe who is sustaining the universe, and you are co-heirs? Do you celebrate the fact or rejoice in the fact that you're going to be His bride? Not only are you God's daughter, you're Christ's bride. Do you celebrate the fact we're going to reign and rule with Him forever and ever and ever and ever? There are just so many things to celebrate about being in the family of God. What do you enjoy most? Since you too have been adopted into the family of God. But praise God for opportunities to minister to one another. The words that Paul used to describe me were so amazing. And I'm so encouraged. And I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to study them this week. Not only did he call me his sister, he called me a servant of the church. You may think servant of the church, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Actually, since I'm Greek, I will share with you the Greek word. It's the word you get deacon from. Diakonos. I was a deacon servant of the church. And to be a deacon in the church, a lady deacon in the church here in Cenchrea, it included assisting widows, caring for the poor, caring for strangers and sick believers, caring for those in prison. It included instructing women and children. It included supporting the church logistically and financially. And churches often met in the home of the wealthy. And as I said, my family background was wealthy, so that church at Cenchrea, according to tradition, met in our home. It's interesting that not only did Paul call me our sister and call me a servant or a deacon, but he didn't stop there. He went on, if you're following me in Romans 16, He also called me a helper. And you may think, helper, servant, they're the same thing. No, 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 no. That's a different Greek word. The word for helper is what you would call in English a benefactor or a patron or a champion for one another. It suggests wealth. A patron was exceedingly important in the Greco-Roman world because they would use their money and their influence to support a variety of causes. And not only did I support a variety of causes, I supported Paul as well. And he commends me in Romans 16 for being his benefactor, for being a deacon, and for being his sister. So let me ask you, how are you ministering to others today? You may be the only Jesus that they can see. Are you commending one another? Paul commended me, and it was a huge encouragement to me. You know how encouraging it is to you when others commend you. Are you commending others as well? Recognize what others have done well. That's what Paul does throughout this whole chapter. Make others feel special and appreciated. Imagine how excited the Romans were when they received this letter, and Paul mentioned them by name and remembered things he had done with each one of them individually. Commending others is a wonderful expression of love. Write a letter. Say a prayer. Send an email. Send a blog. Send a text. Send all those things you guys do. And encourage someone somehow this week. Welcome one another. Welcome them to your community and to your church. Be hospitable. You may entertain angels unaware. Use your spiritual gift to encourage others. And finally, help one another. Look for the needs of others around you. That's what I was doing. That's how God led me to Paul. You may be helping a Paul as you look around you and encourage one another in meeting their needs. So again, praise God for the opportunities that he gives us to minister to one another. But not only that, praise God for his abundant hope, joy, and peace in every season of life. As I mentioned earlier, I trusted in Christ during Paul's second missionary journey. As a baby believer, I was encouraged daily with hope, joy, and peace from the Lord. But when Paul returned to Corinth 6 years later, I had grown and matured in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I vividly remember Paul's discussions with Jews and Gentiles both. I remember their questions and his amazingly brilliant answers. I remember Paul encouraging us in his word and sharing his plans and desires to travel to Rome. The church at Rome, as you all know, you were Roman experts, was founded by Jews and Jewish proselytes after Pentecost. And so when Emperor Claudius expelled the Jews from Rome about 20 years later, the church at Rome became increasingly Gentile in composition. No apostles had visited Rome, so Paul wrote Romans to clarify salvation, sanctification, justification, and glorification. Deep theology with very practical importance, which you have all just studied and completely understand. I'm so proud of you. Paul completed writing Romans during his 3 month stay in Corinth, and at the end of the third missionary journey, do you know what he did? He asked me to carry the epistle to Rome to read to the Romans. Now, it was a dangerous journey. It wasn't an easy trip. It involved land travel and sea travel. I was a woman, so that made travel dangerous. And so I carried introductions with me to stay with reputable individuals along the route. And you know what Paul said? He told them, receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. What an honor. What an honor for Paul to have said that. But not only was it a dangerous journey, it was a great responsibility, and it was a tremendous honor to share Paul's writing with the three church houses mentioned there in Romans 16, which I'm sure you picked up. There were three churches there. It was an honor to read the letter to each one of the church, an honor to explain crucial points, and to answer subsequent questions. You think you had questions. Oh, my goodness. And to provide clarity to his theology and wisdom to the ensuing discussion. I also met some amazing people, but more about that in a minute. So as you praise God for his abundant hope, joy, and peace in every season of life, let me ask you, are you abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? One of the points of Romans is to explain how the Holy Spirit works in our life to bring us hope and joy. And as you draw near to him and open up the gift of salvation, he can provide you hope, joy, and peace in every season of life, at the beginning of life, through life, in every season that you encounter. But before we go to the other people. Praise God for his love for women, for their value to him and their importance in his plan. God loves women. Women of faith in the Old Testament include Sarah, Deborah, Esther, Hannah, and Ruth. Women ministered to Jesus in his ministry, at the cross, at the tomb, and at the resurrection, including Mary, Joanna, and Susanna. Women were important in spreading the gospel and were commended for their good deeds often in the New Testament. Who was commended for their good deeds? Dorcas. Who was commended for their hospitality? Lydia. Who was commended for their understanding of doctrine? Not Phoebe, Priscilla. Who was commended for their spiritual giftedness? Philip's four daughters. Who was commended for their faithfulness? Lois and Eunice. All of these women were mentioned by name and commended for specific attributes, which show how much God loved them and how much value they have in God's plan. So, applicationally, remember, women are important to God. Paul valued women. Paul valued women. You'll often hear Paul hated women, he didn't like women, blah, 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 blah. Not true. Not true. Paul valued women. Just take them to Romans 16. How many women do you see mentioned by name specifically in Romans 16? You'll see at least 10 women mentioned, 8 by name and 2 by relationship. You see Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, Junius, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Julia, Rufus's mother, and Nurses's sister. 10 women are specifically mentioned here in Romans 16 as receiving greetings from Paul. Paul cared for women. Paul valued women in his ministry, and women are very important to God. So we've looked at Phoebe. Let's move on to the people. I know this is your favorite part. Beginning in verse 3, we're going to look at the people Paul mentions. And we praise God that he sees, remembers, records, and will reward every good thing that you do in the name of Christ. Paul developed many relationships with other believers throughout the Mediterranean during his 25 years of ministry. The 36 total individuals mentioned indicate the church at Rome was very diverse, including men and women, Jews and Gentiles, upper and lower classes, various ethnic origins and social classes, as I said, meeting in 3 different church homes. The many names included in Romans 16 prompt several questions. Every time you see a list of names in the Bible, these are the questions that should come to your mind. First, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You are the one that determines whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it is, praise the Lord. And if it's not, you need to do something before you cross the threshold into the next life. Because this is the life that you decide whether you trust in him or not, whether you receive his gift or not. Okay, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Second question, what will God say about you? Some of these people were hard workers. Some of them were in prison. Some labored. Some entertained. Some were hospitable. What will God say about you? When he puts your name, what's he going to have right after your name? Next question, what would you like God to say about you? If there's something you would like him to say, begin today. Begin today to develop that attribute. Next question, what will others say about you? Paul was saying this about other people. What will other people say about you? And again, what would you like others to say about you? What can you start doing today to live a life that glorifies God and radiates his life to those around you? Next phrase, praise God, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, he begins by greeting Priscilla and Aquila. As you know, they were originally from Rome. In 48 AD, Claudius expelled Jews from Rome. They went to Corinth. They were tent makers. Paul stayed with them on the second missionary journey for 1.5 years. You get to know somebody pretty good living with them and working with them for 1.5 years. They're mentioned 6 times in the New Testament. 3 of those, Priscilla is mentioned first, which is very unusual. And it suggests she may have had a higher social standing or been more prominent. Paul calls them my fellow workers in Christ, who for my life risk their own necks to not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. So this is the first church house. They are a beautiful picture of Christian marriage with a husband and wife working together their lifetime in service for the Lord. Oh, by the way, well, how'd they end up back in Rome? Well, Claudius died. How did Claudius die? I'm so glad you asked. You think you have soap operas now? You think you have drama now? No, 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 no. You go back and read about the Romans. Go back and read. Claudius was murdered by his fourth wife. He was poisoned by his fourth wife. Why would she do that? So she can put her son as the next emperor. Well, who was her son? Nero. Nero. Yeah, Nero. So, I mean, you talk about soap opera drama, you know. Claudius dies, Priscilla and Aquila move back, and Nero's now on the throne. So, good news is, nothing separates you from the love of God, just as nothing separated Priscilla and Aquila. Rome can't separate you. Politics can't separate you. The economy, being rich or poor, having a job or not, can't separate you. Geography, whether you live in Frisco or Allen or Timbuktu, geography can't separate you. And time, they were out of Rome for a period of time. Time cannot separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from God's love. But praise God for his free gift of salvation. As Paul continues, he says, greet Emphinehas, and that name means praiseworthy. He's my beloved. He was the first convert to Christ from Asia. Now, Asia does not mean China. When you read Asia in the Bible, it means Asia Minor, which really translates to Turkey. So he was Paul's first convert from Turkey. So applicationally, are you sharing the gospel with others? Do you remember and pray for those who you have led to the Lord? Do you remember who your first convert was? Do you disciple your spiritual children and others in the family of God? Share the gospel with others and do what you can to water, to harvest, to feed, to encourage. Praise God that present suffering, this is one of the best ones. Not really, we got a couple more coming up, but this one's close. Praise God that present suffering is not worthy to be compared to future glory. Paul continues in verse 6, greet Mary. Now there's six different Marys in the New Testament. This is the Mary who lives in Rome. And what does he tell us about her? She has worked hard. That worked hard in the Greek really means labored to the point of exhaustion. Labored to the point. She worked very hard. Mary worked very hard, and she did it for you. She didn't do it for herself. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. And greet Andronicus and Junius, a husband and wife team. They're my kinsmen, meaning they're Jews. They're my fellow prisoners. So these guys were imprisoned with Paul at some point that we don't know. During his ministry, they were in prison with him. They're outstanding, meaning they're well-known and appreciated among the apostles, and they were also in Christ before me. So before Paul had his Damascus Road experience, Andronicus and Junius, husband and wife team, had already become believers. So applicationally, be encouraged that present suffering can take many forms. It's temporary, and it will be rewarded. Whether you work hard to the point of exhaustion for others, whether you were fellow prisoners, suffering for Christ can forge a permanent and precious bond. Think to points in time when you suffered in your life. You probably have friendships that are dear and near to your heart that were forged during that time of suffering. And again, he's commending others for their service. So be encouraged that present suffering is temporary and will be rewarded. Praise God for the freedom that we enjoy in Christ. As you know, slavery was widespread in the Roman Empire during the New Testament period, with estimates of 60 million slaves scattered across the Mediterranean. The population of Rome itself was in excess of 1 million individuals, with estimates of 40% of that being either slaves or freed slaves. So that's almost half the population in Rome. And the next four people we have on our list in verses 8, 9, and 10 all have slave names. So these greetings he's sending are to slaves or to freed slaves. Greet Amphiletus, my beloved in the Lord. Amphiletus actually has a beautiful tomb in the Roman catacombs that you can see today if you go to Rome. Greet Urbanus, that's a Roman name, it means city. Our fellow worker in Christ. Greet Stachys, that's a Greek name, it means ear of corn, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved, that means he's been tried and trusted, kind of like precious metals, tried and trusted in Christ. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Whether when you're looking at these slaves, you may be a slave of a man outwardly, but Christ has set you free, and you will be free indeed. But not only were they slaves, they were elite. Moving on, he says, greet those who have the household of Aristobulus. Well, he was the grandson of Herod the Great, who was a king, right? He was the brother of Herod Agrippa, who ruled Palestine in 41 through 44 AD. And it said, greet his household. So he was not saved, but his household, the slaves that served his family in that elite family were. Greet Herodian. That name means he's related to the family of Herod. Again, my kinsman, probably Jewish. Greet those of the household of Narcissus. Now, Narcissus is pretty cool. It could be the Roman Emperor Claudius. Remember the guy whose wife poisoned him? Could have been his secretary, who was a wealthy freedman and was named Narcissus. And so he's, again, not greeting Narcissus, but the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. So later on, when you read Philippians in your quiet time, and you see at the end of Philippians where he's talking about those in Rome from Caesar's household greet you, it's very likely it's the household of Aristobulus or Herodian or Narcissus. So there were poor slaves, there were elite who had trusted in Christ. There are men and women, sisters and mothers, sons and saints, famous unknown. In verse 12, greet Tryphaena and Tryphosa, twin sisters. Their names meant delicate and dainty, but they were workers in the Lord. They were delicate and dainty, but they didn't allow their delicacy or their daintiness, probably because they were elite. Those are elite names. Hinder them from being workers in the Lord. Greet Persis. I love Persis. Persis means the Persian woman. The woman from Persia. She had come from Iran and was now living in Rome. And she was beloved, and she too worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus. Rufus is a cool one. You probably know who Rufus is. He's the son of Simon of Cyrene. He was the one who carried Jesus' cross. We just had Easter and Jesus' cross. Rufus was Simon of Cyrene's son. He lived in Rome. He's described as choice. That word is elect. You've studied Romans. You know what election means. He is elect in the Lord. And also greet Rufus's mother and mine. Not meaning that Rufus and Paul were really blood brothers and sisters, but referring to the fact that Rufus's mother evidently had shown maternal care and love and grace toward Paul at some point in life earlier in their ministry. And much as we have a family of Christ, we're brothers and sisters, older women can act as motherly and matronly and show care and demonstration to others. What's interesting also about Rufus, Rufus is in Rome, right? Paul's sending all these greetings to Rome. Rufus is in Rome. Mark, the book of Mark, was written from Rome after this. So it's interesting that Mark also met Rufus, probably got the whole story of Simon and Cyrene and the whole thing from him there in Rome before he wrote his book. So it's neat that Paul includes him and sends greetings to him. Then he says in verse 14, greet Asyncris, Philegion, Hermes, Patrobas, and Hermas, and the brethren with him. All these names suggest slaves or freed slaves, and it's the second house church. Then he says, greet Philologus and Julia, another husband and wife, Nursus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Again, third house church, names suggest slaves or freed slaves. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. So applicationally, do you love one another? It's the most repeated of the one another's. Love one another fervently from the heart, for love covers a multitude of sins. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We see the tremendous diversity in the church. If you can love one another in a church that is diverse, the light that you are shining through that love will impact the world all around you. But he stops in his list. He's completed his list of all the people in Rome he's greeting. Then he stops and spends time for a warning. And it's interesting, it's a little bit of a chiasm, if you will, in the structure of the book. Chiasm is like a sandwich, right? You've got bread, lettuce, meat. Begins with Phoebe, ends with Paul, two individuals. Then you have a group of people, greetings to in Rome, group of people, greetings from, who are with Paul, and then you have warning. So whether you are in a group, whether you are an individual, whether you are in Rome, whether you are with Paul, he has a warning for everybody. And the warning is, first of all, praise God for his warnings and wisdom. But the warning is first, keep your eyes on them. The Greek word for that is skopios, which means to scope out, observe intently. You get microscope or telescope. Scope out those who cause dissensions or divisions that lead to heresy. Scope out those who cause hindrances or offenses. The word there is scandalon. Traps, tricks, or stumbling blocks in another's way. How do they do that? With smooth speech and flattering words, contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Why do they do that? Their intent is to deceive the unexpecting. So one, scope them out. Two, turn away from them. applicationally. Are you alert to his warnings and growing in his grace and knowledge? You are not immune to sin, Satan, and the word, and you can fall. Unity in Christ comes from knowing the word of God. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the knowing of the world. Now we move to eight colleagues that are with Paul and send their greetings. Praise God that tribulations refine our character. In verse 21, we're mentioned to Timothy, who was with Paul in the second missionary journey, was with him in Corinth when Romans was written. He was Paul's fellow worker, and he sends his greetings. So does Lucius, who is a leader at Antioch, and so does Jason, who was Paul's host there in Thessalonica, and so does Sosipater, a Berean who traveled with Paul, who are all his kinsmen. They are all Jewish in their background. Applicationally, will God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," when you cross the threshold into the next life? When you look at Timothy, he was transformed from my son to a mature leader of the church. When you look at Paul, he went from persecutor of the church to apostle to the Gentiles. When you look at Mark, he went from quitter to useful in ministry. When you look at John, son of thunder to the disciple whom Jesus loved, despite your beginnings and despite your trials, choose to finish well. Character and fellowship are refined through suffering. So, next praise. Praise God that his gifts and calling are irrevocable. Verse 22, I, Tertius, this is Paul's secretary, who wrote as Paul's dictated, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Now, Tertius means third, which again is a slave name. Slaves, they named him first, second, third. Third. So third, the slave who's born and named third, is the one that helped Paul write. It's interesting, slaves often had skills, had talents, had techniques, and were taught to read and write, were taught to do things that would make them skilled. And third wrote the book for Paul. It's interesting that being a slave name, according to tradition, Tertius became a bishop in Iconium after the apostle Sosipater died a martyr. So third, not only did third help Paul write the book, he later became a leader in the church and became a bishop. So Paul sends greetings from Tertius. He sends greetings from Gaius. Gaius, Paul had baptized at Corinth. And it's interesting that he was his host and the whole church met at his home. So we have Tertius, Gaius, and Erastus. Erastus is one of my favorites. He was the city treasurer. And what's cool about Erastus is there's proof that he's the city treasurer. This is the Erasmus pavement. And I'm sure all of you can read the Greek there. It says, Erastus, commissioner of public works, bore the expense of this pavement. There are hundreds of archaeological proofs, Old Testament and New Testament, that confirm that the Bible is 100% accurate. This is one of them. Erastus is mentioned as the city treasurer in Corinth, and sure enough, they dug up a pavement listing Erastus as the city treasurer there in Corinth. So Paul didn't invent all this stuff. God didn't invent all this stuff. God is confirming through the archaeology that what he wrote was true. And the fourth person they meant is Quartus. So we have first, second, third, and fourth. Quartus means fourth, and fourth is the brother. So whatever you do, do it with all your heart, for you're serving the Lord. Whether you're writing, whether you're being hospitable, whether you're being generous, whether you're sharing your influence, whether you use your gifts and callings to glorify God. So quickly, we'll look at Paul. First praise for God from Paul is praise God for intercession and answer to prayer. You know Paul's life was characterized by prayer from his conversion in Acts through trials and imprisonments and sleeplessness and shipwrecks and being stoned and left for dead. Paul's life is a demonstration of God's answer to prayer. So applicationally, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. But a second praise we have from Paul is praise God that he causes all things to work together for good. Now, God has given me several opportunities to come share with people on occasion about Romans and about Paul and about life. And one of the questions I get asked most frequently was, what was Paul's thorn? Well, there were several different options it could have been. It could have been his unattractive personal appearance. It could have been malaria that he picked up on his first missionary journey. It could have been epilepsy. It could have been eye trouble. But you know what? God doesn't identify what the thorn is. And you know what God focuses on instead? God focuses on his answer. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness." So let me ask you, what is your thorn? We all may have different thorns, But God's grace can be perfected in our weakness. Thorns have a divine purpose. Thorns are no excuse from service. Thorns enable God's power to be perfected in your weakness. But another praise. Praise God, he gives us the desires of our heart. You saw in Romans 1 and again in Romans 15, Paul wanted to travel to Rome and to Spain. And he actually ended up going to Rome twice. You should have a map handout that puts together from references in the Pauline epistles and references in church history and church tradition what Paul did after he got out of prison. He went to Spain. Then he went back over to Crete, where he left Titus. Then he went to Miletus, where he left Trophimus. Then he went to Colossae, where he told Philemon, prepare me a lodging. And you'll find more about that in the fall when we study Colossians. Then he went to Ephesus. Remember, he's leaving the Ephesian elders, the tears and the weeping. He got to go back to Ephesus again, and he left Timothy there. Then he went to Troas, and he asked Timothy, bring the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus and the books and the parchments. Then he went to Philippi. Then he went to Corinth. Paul made it back to Corinth. Isn't that awesome? And he left Erastus in Corinth as Paul went on to Nicopolis. Nicopolis is over here on the western shore of Greece, and that's where he intended to spend the winter, but unfortunately he was arrested in Nicopolis and brought to Rome again for a second Roman imprisonment. So as we look at praising God, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, which he did with Paul. Paul delighted in the Lord, wanted to travel more, wanted to see the entire Mediterranean basin, and God allowed him to do that. Praise God also that in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. Whether you're looking at Paul's first imprisonment, which was pretty good, whether you're looking at his second imprisonment, which was pretty bad, or when you look at the end, as he was beheaded on the road west of Rome. He was a Roman citizen, so he was not crucified, but he was beheaded outside of Rome, the eternal city, and stepped into the presence of God, and his Savior. Interestingly, Nero committed suicide several months after this, so God's timing is impeccable here. So, applicationally, will you receive the crown of righteousness for loving his appearing? Praise God that in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. So, conclusion, how will you resolve to let Romans impact your life? Do not close your workbook and put it on a shelf to be forgotten. First, by looking up to God. God's sovereignty provides security in a dark world. God's love provides peace in turbulent relationships. God's word is 100% accurate. Treasure and rejoice in theology. You got a lot of theology in Romans, but each one of those theological points is a source of joy and encouragement for us as we look up to God. Also, by looking inside at your own heart and character. Are you taking your cares to God in prayer? Are you regularly confessing your sin? Are you refining your character like gold? Human responsibility, one of those doctrines we looked at, confirms our value and our purpose in the plan of God. And then, after looking up and looking inside, look around. Appreciate one another, encourage one another, love one another. Praise God for what he has done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, I commented earlier about heaven providing perspective and clarity to life. Life is short, so serve him. Life is precious, so praise him. Life has a purpose, so glorify him. Life is a gift, so share him. Life is short. It's a breath, it's a vapor, and one day your life is going to end. Live today so that you will not have any regrets on that day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to praise you, from whom all blessings flow. We want to praise you, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God that in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. Praise God for your gift of salvation. Praise God that you're with us in the good times and bad. Praise God for your love for women. Praise God that nothing can separate us from you. Praise God that present suffering is not worthy to be compared to future glory. Praise God for the opportunities you give us. Praise God for the warnings you give us. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen.